This is Luke's account of the angel's visit to the shepherds. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
It's a pretty cute video too, but not to be a wet rag on a lovely day, but it's a bit of a ridiculous notion, isn't it? Peace on earth? I mean, at least peace on this earth. Let's think about just this year maybe. I know that 2016 was considered the worst year ever, but let's be real, that was just because a whole heap of celebrities died and they thought they'd give it that label. But this year would certainly give it a bit of a run for its money, wouldn't it? It's been a year again of unrest, distress, disharmony. Let me just give you some of the things that have been happening. I mean, the very earth itself seems to be in unrest and distress. The earth is shaking and it is breaking, like the earthquake in Mexico, mudslides in Colombia that both claimed hundreds of lives. The skies are in turmoil, with cyclones and hurricanes like Hurricane Irma and Harvey. Flooding in Bangladesh, these places turned cities into oceans. Highways were just, you could put a boat on it. Then there's the famine in Africa, where millions are going without food. And it's not just the earth though, is it? It's not just the earth that seems to be at unrest. It's the inhabitants too. Nation still rises against nation. A man is fighting against man, like the millions of dollars spent on wars, on terror, or over land, over identity. It seems even over egos today. Maybe who has the worst haircut between Kim and Trump, that other guy. Then, more seriously, there are those trucks that have been barging through public places intent on destroying. And you heard David pray for Melbourne, where 19 people were hit by a car in the centre of the city. The mass shootings that seem to happen almost on a weekly basis now, and I'm not trying to target America, but as of mid-November, there were 317 mass shootings in 2017 alone. That's nearly one a day. Don't worry, 2016 had 483. Like the time 26 people were killed at a church in Texas, or the 58 dead and the 546 injured who went to a concert in Las Vegas. Incidents that all together made 2017 the most deadly year for mass killings in a decade. But don't worry, we do our part too, because there's slavery right across the world as well. Millions, all designed to bring us cheap cotton and clothes, our modern day robes, the rags that we fight over and then we just throw away at the end of the day. We are far from a world of justice, aren't we? We are far from a world at peace. And the quiet little homes of Australians are, I don't think, any different. I mean, come on, Brett, it's Christmas. What are you doing? It's meant to be a time of joy and harmony. Look at your average Aussie home. They're getting together tomorrow, and it'll all be great until Monopoly comes out. You all know it. And just try starting to teach a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old how to play the game Uno. You see that? If you want to see distress and unrest, like that's a game that you can't say everyone's the winner because only one person ends up with no cards. On a more serious note, though, there are many that are not snuggled up with care at Christmas, aren't there? You just have to go to the courts on a Wednesday to see the domestic violence cases lined up, the rate of betrayal and hurt within families. And it's not just on our Facebook feeds that it's filled with. The stories of abuse, I guarantee you know. Thinking of Facebook, though, it's a pretty good indicator for modern times, isn't it? 24 million reactions happen to news in Australia. Do you know what the most used reaction was this year? 7 million sad faces. There was actually more sad faces than love and wow combined. And you know what the second reaction was? A very close second to that sad was anger. The most popular expressions that we have emotively. That's what's going on. And here is what's driving those things. Anger, it was warning, children, death. Sadness, it was died, killed, and cancer. There is unrest and distress everywhere, isn't there? Peace on earth, please. I mean, I just went on a holiday not that long ago, and I think it drags these two things together beautifully. I would just go around randomly meeting people, because it's what I do sometimes, and I would always ask the extra question. Man, you ask the extra question, people share something. Like Brian and his brother who were sitting there with us at dinner, and I just asked him why they're on this trip. And he broke down. I'm talking a full man who was just telling me about all the drinks he'd had the night before and broke down. Why? Because they thought they'd take this trip because when they went back, their brother was going off dialysis and he would die in 10 days. Or like my mate Mark that randomly I ran into as I was going back to my room, and there he was sitting with his family, and after asking a few additional questions, he told me about the time that he'd lost his temper. One of his best mates had said something terribly hurtful about his wife. And so he reached for that cricket bat that was nearby and he hit him. He called the police, he did all of that, but now he's facing 10 years in prison. There is unrest and distress. I was on my holiday. I mean, we're about to enter into holidays, yeah? These are the stories that people have. We all know that I could go on as well. It's not like I've gone into the personal yet either. We all know I could narrow it down to each and every single one of us, each and every single one of you, because we all feel it or we experience it in some way. For some of you, it might be very real today. And yet we all want peace more than Miss Congeniality. More than every Miss Universe contestant there ever has been. We want peace, don't we? But try as we might, we can't bring peace on this earth. It seems every time we try, it just fails. But I'm about to tell you, I truly believe, I'm fully convinced that peace on earth is real. It is why Christmas can be so bright, why we light it up and why we want to light it up. It is as bright as that angel showing up on that dark, dark Arabian night that night. Because it is the only offer of peace that we have. See, at Christmas, we remember that peace was promised, and then it was attained, and it will reign. Christmas shines that very light because Jesus came as the promised Prince of Peace. I don't know whether we realize this, but Jesus wasn't born into a beautiful little nativity scene. He was actually born into a world that hasn't changed all that much. And if you read the gospel accounts, you see it. So his life, when I call him the Prince of Peace, it wasn't princely and it wasn't all that peaceful either. Even the way his birth is announced, we're going to see in just a moment, it was pretty full on. I find the song Silent Night interesting because I don't... So my wife is pregnant at the moment, due in March. We have two little kids, been at a couple of births. It ain't peaceful. It ain't like a Silent Night sort of gear thing going on there. It is... It's not peaceful, let's just put it that way. And neither was Jesus' actual life. We might think that it was this beautiful moment, him walking around teaching, but no. The promised Prince of Peace was announced, and he was announced in a loud way because his life was going to do some stuff. But before we get to that announcement, why do I keep referring to him as this Prince of Peace? Well, because it was promised that a Prince of Peace would come. And we've heard it already tonight. Taylor read it for us earlier. Let me read it to you again. It's from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, God had spoken a long time ago, and he'd said, out of disaster, because these people were in disaster at this point, I'm going to bring victory. Not only am I going to bring victory, but I'm going to bring harmony. I'm going to bring perfection. I'm going to bring peace. That's the promise. And how's he going to do it? Through a child. A child would be born. The one who will reign, who will bring peace. A prince. Who's excited about Harry and Meghan? Yeah? Devastated because Suits, it's just ruined Suits for me. But aside from that, we get this strange idea about princes because none of the princes are ever going to be the king, it seems. Like they're never going to get there. Elizabeth's going to live forever. So there's this strange reality that we misunderstand what a prince actually is. A prince is the hand of the king. He is the son of the king. He is the one who will rule. That's the idea here. Isaiah 9 is saying to us, you need to expect somebody who's going to come and bring a reign and rule of peace. That's what this child's going to do. This child who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So when he's going to be announced, his birth announcement is going to be much greater than some of the ones that I've seen recently. Most of the time, birth announcements come on Facebook. Hey, I found out about a couple of births this week that I've been like, hey, is the baby born? Is the baby born? Somebody sent me a picture of a Facebook announcement. I think sometimes the mother finds out on Facebook before she even knows. That's how quick people are with these Facebook announcements. But the Prince of Peace, when he was announced, it's incredible. And that song we just heard Jazz sing so wonderfully, it says, come and see. Come and see what God has done. So let's do that. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 2, where we see this announcement. Because it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, because peace will be attained. And we can see that from what it says here. Verse 8 said, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now, we've got to understand, night isn't like night here where there's all these beautiful streetlights that are orange and give us a nice little glow. No, this is dark, dark, dark. Maybe a campfire gave them a little bit of light. And so when we hear that an angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them, it's not a surprise that they were terrified. That's going to be bright. That's going to just burst that sky wide open. It's the middle of the night. Just imagine being there. The fear, the wonder that will be struck inside of you. Just imagine how bright they would have shone. And I want you to think about that because that is how bright Christmas is. That's the idea, I think, in some respect. We see this bright Christmas light just shine. I love that there's shepherds here too. I love shepherds at Christmas because it means I can find a way to talk about the fact that I'm a bit like a shepherd because I have chickens. And I love talking about my chickens at church. We have 4 chickens. I won't get into it. Come next Sunday, I'll definitely talk about them. But more seriously, shepherds are relatable, aren't they? And in fact, they were put in here, I think, and I think the reason God showed up to them was because they represent all people. You know, they're like you, they're like me. They are humble people. They're humble people who respond to God. And they're just people. People who seem pretty terrified when an angel rocks up. So it's something that I think I can sort of relate to. I don't know about you. But they're also people who are in the dark, in need. People who hear an announcement and then respond. It's always super helpful when somebody says, if you're like, I'm afraid of something, they just say, oh, don't be afraid. Helpful, isn't it? Well, it seems the angels are that sort of helpful person. Because have a look at verse 10. All it says is, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. The angel said, do not be afraid. Great, easy, done. No, but it's not because angels aren't crazy terrifying that they're saying that. It's because of why they've come. Because of the news they bring. Don't be afraid because I'm here for a reason. What's the reason? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Good news, great joy, all people. That's Christmas. That's why we get excited here at Nawi. That's why we chuck some lights up. They're not normally there. Because Christmas is good news. It brings great joy, and it's for all of you, every single person who's come here today. If there was other news like this, we wouldn't do those things. If there was other news like this, this church wouldn't be here. That's what Christmas is about. Why is this such good news? Well, it's that a Savior has been born. The Prince of Peace has come. This is the announcement. He's here. The promise is going to be fulfilled. Now, I painted a pretty perilous sort of picture earlier, didn't I? Our world, I mean, we are in a fairly perilous place, are we not? And when you're in that position, you need a Savior, don't you? And we all know what a Savior is, right? I mean, Stephen Smith, when it comes to the Ashes, he's been our Savior. He's the only one that can score runs, it seems. I thought for a while that Channel 10's administration was going to be my Savior from not having to watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette for a while. Turns out somebody else has come in and done that, and there's all these other rubbish shows on still. Sorry if I've offended you. Maybe I just like it and I'm pretending. And then there's Christmas lunches. We all know those times where at Christmas lunch there's that person that comes and you're sitting next to, I want to say Uncle Barry. Is there any Uncle Barrys in here? And then Tegan. No Tegans? Tegan comes and is like, hey, how you doing, Uncle Barry? And you're like, thank you. You are my saviour. You've saved me from that horrible situation. A saviour is somebody who rescues you or delivers you from a perilous situation, like Uncle Barry. But there's far more serious things, isn't there? When I was reading some of the stuff that I listed earlier, I was reading through some of the Las Vegas shooting reports, some of the stories that came out of that. And a couple of stories really stuck out to me. And one iconic picture, actually. This was the first picture to be released by Getty Images when the shootings happened. This was the first one that came out. Listen to what the photographer said as he released it. He didn't know when he took the photo if this woman was injured. He didn't know if she was alive. But he knew that this man was clearly shielding her body with his to protect her, to save her. After he'd taken some shots, he saw them actually both get up and run away. They weren't the only ones in that sort of situation. Jonathan Smith was another one. But before that, Summer Clyburn, a 22-year-old mum, she'd just become a mum. What she did was she shielded her severely injured fiancé. Her fiancé had been shot in the head. She shielded him by lying on top of him while trying to protect him. She took a bullet. And then there was Jonathan Smith, who turned back and saved 30 people. He kept running back into there when there was gunfire everywhere. While trying to reach one of the groups of children, he was actually struck with a bullet in the neck. It fractured his collarbone, cracked a rib, and he's bruised one of his lungs. And he now lives with that bullet forever. We love these stories in some sort of weird way, though, don't we? Because these guys are saviours. They rescued these people. They delivered them from that perilous situation. They risked it all. But it's only limited. Because there was some, and there's pictures of it, who lay on top of others. But they didn't get up and run away. You see, like any attempt that we have or others make, like this man who took these photos said, many other horrible ones he took of this crowd fleeing, but they couldn't anymore. But this is what makes Christmas shine so bright. Because at Christmas, it's not just us trying to save ourselves. No, the Saviour came for all people. The promised Prince of Peace, Son of God, and Son of Man, there before the world began, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. You see, the Prince was born to be the Saviour. The Prince born to bring peace. And he was crowned and robed and raised up. But he was crowned with a crown of thorns. A robe of mockery was thrown on him. And he was raised up a Saviour on a cross. But you see, that's why Christmas is such a wonderful message, because by his death, he made peace with his blood. In that moment, through that Saviour's sacrifice, he shields every single one of us. More than that, he not only shields us because of who he is and who he was, he takes and deals with all the darkness in each and every single one of us, the distress, the unrest, the disharmony created by us, as we actually reject him. Isn't that incredible? For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. And the Bible tells us there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As the angels are about to sing, we'll read in a second, peace to all on whom his favour rests. I mean, Christmas is pretty confronting though, isn't it? Because it confronts us with a fairly uncomfortable truth that then Jesus shines brightly through. You see, we need a saviour. Romans 8 that I just read says there is now no condemnation. That means there was an issue before. Unrest, distress, disharmony. And the world shows us the symptoms of this every day, doesn't it? We show the symptoms in our relationships, in our bodies, in the way we relate to one another. As we live in unrest, distress and disharmony. It all points to the ultimate problem. We don't live at peace with our God, the Creator and Lord of all. But because of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, peace has been offered like one of these gifts sitting under a tree. And I don't know about you, I think that's pretty exciting. I kind of wish people would respond to the Christmas message like my kids responded to getting a trampoline yesterday. It was insane. We couldn't have even imagined how good it was to share that thing on Instagram, because as they came up, we had the curtains closed and we pulled back the curtains. Now, I try to tell myself that the reason we gave them the gift early is because I'm a pastor. Truth is, we are just terrible at not giving gifts early. I mean, Vic's even already received hers as well. Side note. But they had the curtains up and we pulled them back. And as we pulled them back, my son stood there and just went, like he couldn't breathe for a moment. That just hurt. And I had to ask him, what is it, mate? Why are you so excited? And he's, a trampoline, a trampoline, a trampoline, a trampoline, a trampoline, a trampoline. It should be like that for us at Christmas. A saviour has come. Get excited. No wonder the day that Christ was born, heaven approved. Look at what they say. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. They are praising this moment. Because peace is offered to all who will respond to Jesus' coming. The angel said, today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. And because of this birth, because of Christmas, today, here and now, peace is offered to you. But Brett, you've said he's brought peace and all that, and yet do you remember your list? I mean, come on. I remember my list. I also remember my year. I mean, this year, like most, has at times been a year of unrest and distress. I'm not going to go into details because some of you know the details. Some of you have walked through the details with me and probably each other's too. My year hasn't been peaceful. It hasn't perfectly functioned by far. But the joy of Christmas reminds me, peace was promised. It has been attained, and that means it's going to reign as well. Peace was promised through this Prince of Peace. Let me read you another promise that he said just after that first one. It's a bit of a picture. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw with the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. It's a ridiculous picture, isn't it? Do you know why? Because we could never imagine that. That is a picture of rest, of harmony, a world at peace, a world where, let me read this one for you. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. You see, there is another promise. Peace will reign. Peace is coming. Christmas, it shines like that angel in that dark sky. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has come. I mean, what a joy Christmas is, yeah? You, me, we can experience that peace, and we can experience it now. Because when the Prince of Peace was born, peace was offered. It had been promised. It's attained, and now it's here. That peace will come to this earth. For all those who trust in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And so let me ask you, do you have peace this Christmas? Or will it be another year that you go through without? It is a pretty good idea, as the video said, this peace on earth. The world's not going to be all party poppers and candy canes, come on. There's going to be dark moments too. But Christmas, it is that light. And my prayer for all of you is that together we might have peace this Christmas. And our prayer here at Nawi is that the world is at peace and it is coming. But there's only one way that it will come. Through the arrival of the Prince of Peace, and that's Christmas. And then one day his return, because this guy's coming back. If that's what it was like when he was born, imagine the day he returns. There is good news of great joy for all people. Praise God, let me pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came, that he was promised, that he has attained peace because he is the Saviour. I ask that, I don't know what's going on in all the different people's lives today or this year or what will happen next year, but I ask that no matter what we go through, we can always cling to this bright light of Christmas, knowing that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has saved us and peace will one day reign. Father, thank you for Christmas. Thank you that Jesus came. We ask that you help us to Be joyful like those angels, praising you, knowing that peace has been attained. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We want to thank all of you for joining us this year at Christmas. But some of you might have questions about all of that. And let me encourage you, ask the questions. In fact, keep those questions. But if you have things that you want to know a bit more about, then one of the best ways to do that is to investigate the story yourself. And so we've got Bibles at the back if you want to take them. There's two ways to live tracks as well that help you understand the gospel story some more. But another great thing you can do is just come here. Meet with us on a Sunday. Ask your questions. Get to know us. But more importantly, get to know the man who is the Prince of Peace, that is Jesus. Thank you for joining us. God bless you all.